The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Habakkuk chapter 3, and again, if you're still trying to find it, I encourage you to use your table of contents. Come on, somebody, that's why it's in the Bible. I will say this, if you get to Matthew, you've gotten just a little too far. But if you get to Malachi, you're in a good point. Just back up a few books from the book of Malachi. Amen. 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 Habakkuk chapter 3, we're reading verses 16 through 18. Today I'm going to be reading from the Good News translation. It says, I hear all this and I tremble. My lips quiver with fear. My body goes limp. My feet stumble beneath me. I will quietly wait for the time to come when God will punish those who attack us. Even though the fig trees have no fruit, and no grapes grow on the vines, even though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no grain, even though the sheep all die and the cattle stalls are empty, I will still be joyful and glad because the Lord God is my Savior. Listen, I'm talking to somebody. Have you found yourself saying or asking, thinking, or wondering, whether out loud or maybe to yourself, things like, why does God seem so far away? Things like, when will this shelter in place, this quarantine or this curfew end? Why did I lose my job? Why did I have to be furloughed? Why do I have to be deemed an essential worker and I have to risk my life, my health, and my safety? Somebody's asking, why did he take away my loved one? Somebody else is asking, why doesn't God just stop this virus? When are things going to get back to some sort of normality? Why do I worry so much when I should be worshiping, et cetera, et cetera? I'm talking to somebody. The thing is, whoever you are and wherever you are, you're not alone. As a matter of fact, the reason I want us to look at this book of Habakkuk is because Habakkuk, his name means wrestling. And he had a number of questions for God. And Habakkuk, no doubt, gives us some sort, the voice, if you will, of some of our own concerns, some of our own questions as we worry about this coronavirus and so much more. So on this second Sunday of December, December the 13th, 2020, now only 12 days from Christmas, today being the third Sunday of Advent in the Advent season, the theme being, guess what, joy or rejoicing. So with your prayers, and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider this as our subject, trusting God no matter what. Trusting God no matter what. Before you take your seat, it's good to see those of us who are here in the sanctuary. It's certainly good for you, those of you who are gathering online. But when you come before the throne of grace, and when you come to hear the word of God, you want to make sure that you get what God has for you. Come on, somebody. So we're going to pray this prayer that we pray each and every Sunday just to be on one accord, not just with one another, but with the Spirit of the Most High God. Repeat this prayer after me. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me, that is for me, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God, trusting God no matter what. My brothers and my sisters, Habakkuk is unique among the prophets, hear me when I say this, because Habakkuk didn't speak for God to the people. Did you see what I said? That's what the prophets of old did. They spoke for God to the people. Habakkuk didn't do that. Rather, Habakkuk spoke to God about his questions. He was a contemporary of Jeremiah, and he ministered in a culturally and politically turbulent time. It was right before Babylon was to be taken by Judah into exile. This book is actually an intense dialogue between the prophet and God. Actually, what's happening here is Habakkuk is actually arguing that God's ways are unfounded and even unjust. In other words, Habakkuk is lamenting. By definition, according to the dictionary, lament is a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. In the biblical or the spiritual sense, a lament, hear me today, is a prayer of pain that leads to praise. Can I teach in this house? Over one-third of the Psalms are laments. The book of Lamentations is filled with lament, thus is its name. But so is Habakkuk. But if you've ever taken some time to study any of those Psalms or to study the book of Lamentations or even here in Habakkuk, you'll notice that these scriptures employ what I'll call a narrative arc, if you will. What I mean is there's a movement from grief and lamentation to celebration and joy. So let's look at this narrative arc here in Habakkuk, where actually you're going to have to go back to the first chapter of Habakkuk, because chapters 1 and 2 contain prayers of pain, and chapter 3 is filled with praise. So let's you and I dig a little deeper for us to see and to understand how prayers of lament can lead us to praising the Lord or simply trusting God no matter what. So let's you and I learn how to do that, whether or not just being a hashtag. Come on, somebody. The first thing we need to do, learn from the text, is we're going to have to declare your questions. Habakkuk is in a quagmire of questions when you look at chapter 1. Turn to chapter 1 if you haven't done it already. Look at verses 2 through 4. Again, I'm reading from the Good News Translation. He says, Lord, how long must I call for help before you listen, before you save us from violence? Why do you make me see such trouble? How can you stand to look on such wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are all around me, and there's fighting and quarreling everywhere. The law is weak and useless. Injustice is never done. Evil people get the better of the righteous, and so justice is perverted. Does that sound familiar? Come on, somebody. Huh? Does that sound familiar? Sounds a whole lot like 2020. The days and times that you and I are living in. Destruction and violence is all around us. Fighting and quarreling is everywhere. The law is weak, useless, and justice is never done. I'm just quoting the scripture. Come on, somebody. Evil people get the better of the righteous, and so justice is perverted. Habakkuk is basically, help me to teach, Holy Ghost, Habakkuk is basically charging the Lord with loafing on the job. He thinks the Lord is being indifferent. He thinks the Lord is being inactive. And now don't raise your hand, but do you ever feel that way? Come on, somebody. Huh? Do you ever cry out to the Lord and all you hear are crickets? Tragedy leaves you teetering. I need to tell somebody this. It's not unspiritual for you to declare your questions to God. As a matter of fact, God is big enough to handle your cries, your concerns, your fear, your frustration, and your crisis. So what do you do when you're faced with an avalanche of agony and you feel like God is playing a proverbial game of hide and seek with you. Perhaps you grew up in the church and you were taught that as a Christian, you shouldn't question God. I'm talking to somebody. You grew up thinking, no, you're not supposed to question God. And so what you do then is you keep your concerns all bottled up on the inside. Well, let me tell you, whoever you are and wherever you might be, it's much better for you to ask God where he's been than for you to wear your spiritual fake smile. Come on, somebody. And act like everything is going well with you when you know good and well that everything's not all right. Listen, it's better for you to express whatever you have going on. Express it to the Almighty God than you to suppress it and live in agony. The root word of question, can I teach? The root word of question is the word quest. So if you're on a quest to understand, that means then you are serious about seeking some answers. That means you don't hesitate to declare your doubts. If you don't ask, you might miss out on some surprising answers and ultimately short-circuit or short-change your own growth that God wants to accomplish, guess what, in your life, even through what you're going through. How can prayers of lament lead us to praising the Lord, lead us to trusting God no matter what? How do we learn to do that? Number one, my brothers and sisters, is you declare your questions. Second thing I need you to see from here is you need to describe your complaints. That should sound familiar. Come on, somebody. That should sound familiar to what the Lord has been giving me to speak these past few weeks about prayer. Beckett says we need to describe your complaint. Watch this. Keep your Bibles open. Habakkuk's main complaint, or his beef, if you will, is he does not think it's fair for God to use wicked people like the Babylonians to punish God's people. I'm teaching the text. He spells it out again in chapter 1, this time in verse 13. I'm reading from the Good News Translation. He says, How can you stand these treacherous evil men? He said, your eyes are too holy to look at evil, and you cannot stand the sight of people doing wrong. So why are you silent while they destroy people who are more righteous than they are? You've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. I don't know about you, but I have found myself praying more than I've ever prayed before in my life. And again, I'm not just talking about praying more days. I'm talking about praying more often throughout the day. And I'm praying about a whole lot of things, it seems. And the Lord knows that all of you and me, all of you online, and even those who will be listening, and a whole lot of people are praying a whole lot of prayers, especially these days, which is why I believe that he seems to have me repeatedly talking about prayer these past few weeks straight. The thing is, what the Lord wants us to stop doing, however, is beating around the bush. Come on, somebody. He wants us to stop taking the long way home about what our concerns are. He wants us to stop trying to babble and all of this long-windedness. Come on, somebody. And that's not just King talking. Watch this. Matthew 6 and 7, the Good News. It says, when you pray, do not use a lot of meaningless words as the pagans do, who think that their gods will hear them because their prayers are long. Come on, somebody. The New Living Translation says this verse this way. He says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words over and over again. In other words, what Habakkuk is showing us is that it's okay for you not to be afraid to be specific in describing your complaint. As a matter of fact, in verse 8 of that same chapter, Matthew chapter 6, it says, your father already knows what you need before you ask him. So again, I'm saying this in love, and I'm saying this as I'm led of the Holy Spirit. You quit all that babbling. Come on, somebody. You start being specific, telling God your concerns. Why? Because God can handle your concerns. You want to know how prayers of lament can lead to us praising the Lord? Trusting God no matter what. You want to learn how to do that? Number one, you declare your questions. Number two, you describe your complaint. Watch this. But then number three is you deepen your commitment to God. Now, I know we have deepened our commitment to praying, but have you deepened your commitment to God? Watch this. Because Habakkuk is in a position to move throughout the process of this moving from lamenting to praise. So look at chapter 2, because here's the next step in the process. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, he says, I will climb my watchtower and wait to see what the Lord would tell me to say and what answer he would give me, watch this, to my complaint. What happens is Habakkuk is now ready to hear from God whatever his answers are, even though he's probably not going to like what God has to say. The thing is, you and I can learn from this same process. If you have questions or complaints, I should say when. Come on, somebody. When you have questions or complaints, the key is don't just stop there. You express them, but then you have to turn again back to God. Because God answers Habakkuk, but he never really answers his how long. Can I teach in this house? He never answers his how long, or he never really answers his why. Instead, the Lord has him focus on one thing. He has him focusing on living by faith. Where did I get it? Chapter 2, verse 4. He says, but the righteous shall live by his faith. This verse is also quoted, if you're taking notes, write this down. That's also quoted. It sounds familiar, right? It's quoted in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It's quoted in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. And it's quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. I got some Bible readers. Y'all gonna look it up later. What that does is it shows us that God justifies sinners like you and me through faith alone and not through works. Quit trying to do good your way into God's good graces. Quit trying to do good your way into heaven. Quit trying to do good your way into God answering your prayer the way you think it ought to be answered. He said, the righteous shall live by his faith. In other words, what God is saying to Habakkuk and what he's saying to you and me, he's saying, hold on to me, Habakkuk, because I know what I am doing. Listen, simple thing is this. If you had all the answers, you wouldn't need God. If you knew what to do, we wouldn't need God to do it. Come on, somebody. But God is saying, I know what I'm doing. Amen. So you got to ask, how can prayers of lament lead us to praising the Lord? Trusting God no matter what. You declare your questions. You describe your complaints. And you deepen your commitment to God. But there's even deeper within this deepening commitment of God. That's a nice phrase, and it sounds good, but even that is easier said than done. So then how do we then deepen our commitment to God? Guess what we're going to have to do? We got to go deeper. So one of the things I want you to pull from this point is this. One of the things, starting now in chapter 3, so y'all get to chapter 3, keep up with me. We're doing a jet tour through this book. Come on, somebody. The first thing we need to do in your deepening our commitment to God is we need to start reverencing God. Amen. Where did I get it from? It's in verses 2 through 4 of Habakkuk chapter 3. Notice how Habakkuk reveres God. I'm not going to read it, but you're looking at it. All right? I won't read it, but here's the point. When you are filled with grief, I want you, the Holy Spirit wants you and I to gaze on the glory of God and remember that God is majestic and merciful and powerful and personal. I need to help somebody in your prayer life. Listen, I need to release you from some stress, your pressure going up. Come on, somebody. God does not always answer your when. And God does not always answer your why. And the reason is because the answer is really who. Did you see that? See, we want to know what, we want to know when, and we want to know why. But God responds with a who. In other words, he says, I'm your answer. In other words, God is saying, I should be your enough. God himself is your answer and mine. See, while the Lord patiently listens to you and to me, while he listens to us, tell everything that we're thinking, tell everything that we're feeling. And we always want to tell him what we even think the answer is to our problem. Huh? Come on, so I'm just being honest. We want to talk to God and tell him what we think the answer is to our circumstance or our situation. When the bottom line is this, when you get to the end of your prayer, even when you get to the point after you've been praying all night long, and you finally get to your amen, God is still saying, I hear everything you said, but I'm still your answer. I am your answer. But that means we're going to have to reverence who God is. The next thing I need you to see here in your reverence, is in your deepening your commitment to God, is you're going to have to review God's redemptive work. Again, it's right there in the text, Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 5 through 15. Again, I'm not going to read all of that, but I want you to see it as you're looking at it. I want you to see how Habakkuk reviews God's redemptive work in history. Listen, it is always a good idea to go back and remember what God has already done in your life. It's always a good idea for you to go back and review and even remember what God has done in his children's lives of the past. And when we review, I believe that we'll discover that God is doing much more than we ever thought he was. Psalm 103:2 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What God has done in the past, he'll do in the present, and he will be faithful in the future. As a matter of fact, verse 6 right there in Habakkuk chapter 3, Habakkuk says his ways are eternal. That means that God hasn't changed, but nor will he change. God is always involved, even when he seems inactive. So when you're not sure that you can worship because of all the pain, you need to strive to deepen your commitment to God. How do you do that? You do that by revering God. You do that by reviewing what he has done. And there's one more thing I want to show you in this point. You need to rest in God's timing. Verses 16 and 17 in the Good News Translation. Verse 16b says this: I will quietly wait for the time to come. That's what the Good News Translation, yours might read just slightly, but I know it's the same. It says, I will quietly wait for the time to come. Now, you all know I'm a realistic type preacher, and I guarantee that's easier said than done. And even though Habakkuk didn't like what was happening, Habakkuk decided to rest in God's timing. Listen, when you don't understand what God is doing, instead of you rushing ahead of God, you wait on him. And you rest in God instead of rebelling. Listen, if we want to move from worry to worship, then some of us are going to have to learn how to wait. Psalm 130, verse 5 says, I will wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and his word I put in my hope. Listen, as I get ready to close, you got to ask yourself, how can prayers of lament lead us to praising the Lord? How can prayers of lament actually lead us to trusting God no matter what? How do you and I learn to do that? Well, number one, you declare your questions. Number two, you describe your complaints. And number three, you deepen your commitment to God. And in your deepening your commitment to God, you are revering God. You're reviewing what God has done, and you're resting in God's timing. But again, I know that resting in God's timing is easier said than done, especially when we are in the midst of a global pandemic, which by now, 9 months later, dating back to about February this year, when we were really starting to hear about this novel coronavirus, COVID-19, by now, we thought things would be getting better, not getting worse. But look what Habakkuk does in the midst of his resting in God's timing. Not only does he revere God, not only does he review what God has done, but while he's resting in God's timing, he's reflecting and rejoicing. In verse 17, he reflects by imagining even in his day the horror of having no fruit or meat and an economy that's free falling. Does that sound familiar? He says he knows things are bad, but things could be worse. For in verse 17, there are some of the worst possible things that he could imagine. What would he do if everything normal and predictable suddenly collapsed? He begins with the words, even though. The word though can mean when. You see, figs were prized fruit, was prized food, and fruit represented their possessions, while the olives were the source of their prosperity. Everything grown in the fields died. And on top of that, their sheep and goats were far away. They were cut off, and the cattle were no longer in their stalls. When you're doing your deeper study, remember the word fails means to be disappointed. And I would contend that we are all living with layers of disappointment right now. But then look at verse 18. Because Habakkuk begins to rejoice. For disappointment does not need or have to lead to despair. I love the small word yet. Come on, somebody. Which is how verse 18 begins in most translations. It says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Even though there's no food and no flock, Habakkuk determined to rejoice in the Lord and the God who saved him. His crisis of though in verse 17 was followed by a crescendo of yet in verse 18. And I reminded what Job said in Job 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In other words, just like Habakkuk, Job, and many other teachings in the Bible, we may not always know what God is doing, but we can trust God to do what's right. You might not feel like that right now, but your doubts can be transformed into joy. Listen, when you can't rejoice, when I can't rejoice, when we can't rejoice in our situation, minimally we can rejoice in our salvation. Did you see what I said? You might not be able to rejoice in your situation. I know what that's like. I've had some bad days. I've had some tough days. But I can rejoice in my salvation. Because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I'd be. But I would not be in my right mind. I would not be able to say it is well with my soul. Not based on my circumstance, not based on my situation, but based on my salvation. Habakkuk has made the choice. You and I have choices. Habakkuk made the choice to rejoice no matter what happened. I'm not saying I'm happy about all this mess. It's foolish. It's a hot mess. But God has us in his hand. Listen, you revere God. You review what he's done. You rest in him. And you reflect on not just what's happening now, but you reflect on what's happening in spite of what's happening now. And you make the choice to rejoice in God. Listen, when we rely on God, we can go from grieving to believing. The way to get out from under the load is to get under the Lord. In chapter 1, Habakkuk was low. In chapter 2, he climbs up to the watchtower to wait for God's answer. And then in chapter 3, he's walking on new heights. Are you ready? Are you? Come on, somebody. Are you ready to move? I'm talking. Come on, don't fool me. Are you ready? I'm not just saying, are you ready for the year to end? Mm-mm. Are you just ready for the new year? Mm-mm. Are you ready to move even now from pain to praise? Then you declare your questions. You describe your complaints. And you deepen your commitment to God. And you get ready to revere, review, rest, reflect, and rejoice. And guess what? And you trust God no matter what. To God be the glory. To God be the praise.
I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.